Thank you again, Mr. Roop, and certainly appreciate you filling in with song services today. He was not originally scheduled for that job, so certainly appreciate him filling right in for us. Well, brethren, Mr. Franks discussed and talked about the fact that God has blessed the church. The question I'd like to ask us today is, do we feel blessed? Do we feel blessed? Don't we sometimes, in our daily lives, complain an awful lot? I know I do. Often, it's unfortunate, but so often, we focus on what's wrong, don't we? We focus on what's wrong. It's kind of a human proclivity to do that. You know, we don't usually return to the scene of where someone did something or provided something that is done right. You know, if we go to the shoe store and we buy a pair of shoes, and we take them home, and they have a blemish in them, what do? Well, we march right back to the shoe store, and we take them back, and we say, look, this has got a blemish, or this has got a tear, or, and rightfully so. You know, we buy something that should be, you know, we expect it to be what we want it to be. But if there's no defect, what do? Now, that's just a small little example. We all do this. We put the shoes on. We wear them and we go about our lives. We don't usually return back to tell the clerk, hey, those shoes didn't have any blemishes. Thank you very much. They fit fine and they, you know, they're exactly what I wanted. Now, that's pretty normal. You know, I was having a conversation with one of the fellows in our plant yesterday that buys material, and he was complaining a little bit because we have a customer that puts demands on us, and we talked about the fact that, you know, they do put demands on us. Our customers put demands on us, and we expect that. We put demands on, you know, on our supply chain as well, but, you know, we talked about the fact that we don't hear back from them when we do a good job for them. Now, sometimes, occasionally we do, but for the most part, that's what's expected, isn't it? So many times we don't take time to reflect on the good, do we? We don't take time sometimes to reflect on the good. So I'll ask that question again. Do we feel blessed? Because all of us are. All of us are. We're all blessed. And we're going to talk about that some today. We are blessed. This time of the year is a good time for us to reflect on our blessings. It's a good time for us to do that. You know, because this coming Thursday, as Mr. Franks again mentioned, and all of us know, this coming Thursday is a day of National Thanksgiving. The day of National Thanksgiving. Now, when we think of Thanksgiving, what do you think of? You know, well, a lot of things, right? You maybe think of turkey, comes first to mind, and stuffing, and potato, mashed potatoes, and gravy, and football, maybe, and, you know, over the river and through the woods kind of thing. We get together as families. You know, pilgrims. We think of pilgrims, don't we? Oftentimes, I know we have little decorative things and we have little pilgrims, perhaps, as as a decoration for the day. The pilgrims, you know, we think of the pilgrims, you know, they had a three-day feast, actually, in 1621 in celebration of a good harvest. They had a three-day feast. George Washington proclaimed a national day of thanksgiving in 1789. For a period of time, there was an official Thanksgiving, but George Washington proclaimed a national day of thanksgiving. President Abraham Lincoln proclaimed the last Thursday in November as a national day of thanksgiving, but really it wasn't a national holiday until 1941, when Congress finally sanctioned the fourth Thursday in November as a legal holiday. So each year, we have an opportunity to reflect on our blessings. And that's a wonderful thing for us to do, because all of us have so many wonderful blessings. We've been very blessed as to be in this nation. We've been very blessed with so many things. And yes, we have trials and we have issues in our lives, and perhaps there's health and financial trials and a whole gamut of things that can be and will and are sometimes trials in our lives. But we have an opportunity this week to look at our blessings. And so let's talk about that a little bit today, about our blessings. And talk and think about, reflect on some of the things that God has blessed us with. Now, we should never take the knowledge of God and the blessing that He has given us for granted. Oftentimes we do. We can do take God and the blessings that He's given us and the things that He's given us and what He has done for us for granted. Let's turn to 1 Peter to begin with today. 1 Peter chapter 2, and we'll read verse 9 and 10. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. First Peter 2:9 says, "But you are a chosen generation." We're a chosen generation. We understand that. A royal priesthood, a holy nation. Think about that. Reflect on that for a moment. Think about that as you go through this Thanksgiving season and as you reflect on your blessings. Think about 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9 as it relates to you and your part in it and a part of it. That you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people. His own special people. You know, we are, and we sing that song, we are God's people. We are God's people. What a blessing. And think about that. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in a little bit. But what a blessing that is to know that we are God's people. Now, all people, ultimately, are God's people. But God does set us apart, doesn't He? He sets us apart. And that's such a blessing for us. That all-important word there, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So we are to proclaim those praises. We're to praise God. We're to thank God. We're to recognize and not take for granted the blessings that God gives us. Not take those things for granted, that we're to praise Him and thank Him, who once were not a people, but now are a people of God. We once were not a people of God, but now are, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. So God has blessed us wonderfully, hasn't He? He's blessed us wonderfully, and we need to be grateful for that. And we need to not take that for granted, and we need to recognize that. To recognize that. You know, one of the reasons the human race has lost sight of God is because of unthankfulness, because of not recognizing what God has given to us. Romans chapter 1, Romans chapter 1 and verse 21 is an interesting scripture in that regard. Romans 1 and verse 21. Romans 1 and verse 21 says, because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God. Some people recognize God, but they don't glorify Him as God, nor were thankful. Nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. The Bible has a little bit to say about being unthankful. You know, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, we'll turn there real quickly. 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul gave us, or Timothy rather, gave us these warnings. 2 Timothy chapter 3, actually it was Paul. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 says, but know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. Why? Well, there's a list of things here. It says, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money. Does that sound familiar to any of us at all? You know, one of the reasons the human race has lost sight of God. We've lost sight of God and what God has given us. We've lost sight of the fact that the blessings we have as a nation. It's unfortunate to watch this. As a nation, so many times we've lost sight of the fact of what we have and who gave it to us. That God has blessed us in so many wonderful ways. And so it says, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unthankful, unholy. You know, as a nation, it's wonderful that we have a National Day of Thanksgiving. But I wonder sometimes how many people are truly thankful. How many of us are truly thankful for the blessings that God has given to us? How many people are truly thankful and grateful? Because one of the things that we see here is in the last days, men will be lovers of themselves and etc., and they will be unthankful. We need to make sure that we are grateful. And one of the ways we do that is by recognizing where it comes from and recognizing the blessings God has given us. Recognizing that. And this is a good time of the year to reflect on that. God commands us, you know, as we enter into His presence, you know, we enter His presence with praise and with thanksgiving. We need to do that. We need to enter Psalm chapter 100. Of course, we could spend the whole hour or whatever time we use today in this message. When we talk about blessings, we could spend the whole time in the book of Psalms and in the book of Proverbs. And, you know, in Matthew chapter 5, we could spend time there talking about these blessings. But I hope, and the point I want to make today is that I hope that as we go through this Thanksgiving season, that we reflect on the blessings, reflect on what God has given to us. Psalm chapter 100, verse 1 says, make a joyful noise or a joyful shout to the Lord, all ye lands. Make a joyful shout. Be joyful in recognizing the blessings that God and what God has given us. Serve the Lord with gladness. Are we glad we can serve God? Do we have gladness? Come before His presence with singing. We do that. We come. We just had a song service. And so we come before His presence with singing. And we're grateful, aren't we? And we sing praises to God. Verse 3 says, "Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us, and not we ourselves. God created us." That's a blessing, isn't it? It certainly is a blessing that He created us, and not we ourselves. We are His people. We are His people, as we talked about a little earlier. And the sheep of His pasture. Enter, verse 4, into His gates with thanksgiving. So when we come before God, we're to do so with praise and with thanksgiving. We come before God and to be grateful. And into His courts with praise, to be thankful to Him and to bless His name. So we're to enter His courts with praise and to be thankful to Him. For verse 5, "The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures all generations." So His truth endures all generations. So we're to be grateful, aren't we? We're to recognize, you know, these things. We're to recognize that God created us. We're to recognize that He is merciful to us. We're to praise Him for that. We're to recognize His truth. It's a wonderful blessing. Psalm 107, we'll read a scripture. Psalm 107 and verse 22. Psalm 107 and verse 22. Like I say, we could spend a whole sermon or several sermons in the book of Psalms talking about our blessings and the blessings that God has given us. Psalm 107 verse 22 says, "Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving." So here we see a connection between sacrifices. And, you know, one of the sacrificial services was, you know, the sacrifice of thanksgiving. "Let them sacrifice the sacrifice of thanksgiving and declare His works with rejoicing." So we're to sacrifice the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Psalm 116, we'll see more of that. Psalm, we'll see this connection of sacrifice and thanksgiving. Psalm 116 and verse 17. Psalm 116 verse 17 says, "I will offer to You the sacrifice of thanksgiving." Now, if we're going to thank God for something, then we have to recognize the blessings God has given us, don't we? We have to recognize what God gives us and that He blesses us in so many ways. So here we see the sacrifice of thanksgiving. God views our giving of thanks as a sacrifice. He views it that way. Leviticus chapter 22, back to the book of Leviticus chapter 22 and verse 29, we'll see that again. Leviticus chapter 22 and verse 29 says, "And when you offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving, a sacrifice of thanksgiving to the Lord, offer it of your own free will." God wants us to come before Him with thanksgiving, but of our own free will. You know, sometimes we can have conversations with people and someone can give us something or do something special for us, and we forget to say thank you. And then they remind us, "Hey, thank you," and then you say thank you, but it's kind of after the fact a little bit, isn't it? Too late almost, because, you know, we have to be reminded. God wants us to wants us to be thankful, but of our own free will. He wants us to have an ingrained attitude of thanksgiving, of gratitude, an ingrained attitude of gratitude. We teach our children, don't we, to do that. We teach our children to say thank you. It's one of the first things that we probably teach our children, is to say thank you. And that's a good thing. That's a right thing. Our goal with that is for them to recognize and not take for granted their blessings. We want them to recognize what they have and the blessings that they have. Colossians chapter 3. We are blessed in so many ways, and we have so many wonderful blessings that God has given to us. Lately I've been concluding that I need to be more grateful for what God has given to me and to me personally and to us in a variety of ways, not just physical things, as we'll talk about in a little bit, but more importantly, spiritual things. Colossians chapter 3, it says, verse 1 says, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek these things which are above." We're to seek those things and recognize those things where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Think of that as a blessing. Set your mind upon the things above, not on the things on the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. What a hope that is, isn't it? What a blessing that is to know that and to understand that. And it's interesting that Paul said here that when Christ, who is our life, appears. This is our life, isn't it? This is our life. Therefore, put to death, verse 5, your members which are on earth, fornication, uncleanness, all these things that we know and have read about, because, verse 6, these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them, but now you yourselves are put off all these. We've put these things off, haven't we? We've put these things off. And so we can read through the rest of this chapter, and I kind of encourage you to do it maybe later in the day. But we can drop down to verse 15. Verse 15 says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts." What a blessing that is to know that the peace of God can rule in our hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Be thankful. We need to be thankful, brethren, for these things, don't we? We need to be grateful. We need to express an attitude of gratitude regularly and continually to God. To be grateful for the blessings that God has given us. So what are some blessings we need to be thankful for? Let's look at, there are many, many, many that we could list. And I encourage us to make a list mentally, maybe, or write it down. Sometimes it's helpful to make a list, to write things down. I've made lists in the past of what I'm grateful for. And I'll share some of those with you today. Some of those wonderful blessings that God has given us. These are not just things that He's given me, but they've given us. You know, you may have some of these things on your list, along with more things. But, you know, James 1, verse 17 says, let's turn there real quickly, James chapter 1 and verse 17. You know, we should have and be and have this grateful list. James chapter 1 and verse 17 says, "Every good gift," and this is a scripture that I read often because it's one of my favorites, "every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning." He doesn't change His mind, does He? He's consistent and constant. So let's look at some things that we can, some of the blessings that we have. What I've done is I've kind of put in a heading, God has blessed me with. God has blessed me with, colon. And then we'll go through a list of some several different types of items. God has blessed me with the opportunity to know Him and to have a relationship with Him. God has blessed me with the opportunity to know Him and to have a relationship with Him. What a blessing. You know, to be blessed with the opportunity to understand the truth. John chapter 8 and verse 32. I want to reflect on something a little bit differently here. Often when we read this scripture, we reflect on, and properly so, the back half of the scripture. John chapter 8 and verse 32. Back half of the scripture, the last part of it says, "And the truth shall make you free." We know that we have a freedom there from the wiles of Satan and the sin that so easily besets us. But the first part of the verse, Christ said, "You shall know the truth." You shall know the truth. The truth is very special to us, isn't it? Very special thing for us to be able and to know that we understand the truth. Now, Mr. Franks mentioned that in these videos they're planning to make, it's going to make some people mad, probably. I thought that was kind of humorous that he said it's going to make some people mad. Because sometimes we explain what the Bible says, not what people think the Bible says. We shall know the truth. Is that a blessing for us? That we shall know the truth. Do we find that as a blessing? To know God and to know the truth? What a blessing that is. That we know, as Christ said here, you shall know the truth. Okay, we need to reflect on that as we go through this week and on Thanksgiving Day as we perhaps say a special prayer. I always try to myself take Thanksgiving and say a special prayer of thanksgiving and that for the blessings that God has given us. And we need to recognize those blessings and not take them for granted and realize that God does take care of us in a lot of ways. Jeremiah chapter 9. Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse 23 and 24. Jeremiah 9, verse 23 says, "Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom." Everything that we have, every good gift, as we read there in James chapter 1, comes from above. If we have wisdom, you know, and we've given messages on those subjects, because we ask God for it. You know, Solomon asked God for wisdom. And God gave him wisdom. And Solomon couldn't glory in that, could he? Because God gave it to him. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. So if we have might, perhaps physical strength, perhaps we have been given certain responsibilities in certain ways. Let nor the rich man glory in his riches. Every good gift comes from above, doesn't it? But let him who glory in this. This is what God wants us to glory in, that he understands and knows me. That's what we're to glory in. Not to glory in our wisdom or in our might or in our riches. Those things are all fleeting, passing things. Let him who glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, righteousness, and the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord. So God has blessed me, has blessed us with the opportunity to know Him and to have a relationship with Him. Point number two, God has blessed me with family. God has blessed me with family. Now, all of us have family. It's one thing we all have in common. Now, perhaps some have less family than others. I may have told you the story. Did I tell you the story about the lady we bought our house from off of? She's 96 years old, I think. And she has no relatives, so I guess she doesn't have family that she knows of. She said she used to have a niece. Now, we're not sure if all these things are accurate, but what she told Beth is that when she was 17 years old, she was going to... she had a fiancé, and she was going to get married, and he wanted her to go to West Virginia one night and get married, and she wouldn't go, and the next day he was killed in a car accident. I may have told you this story before. And she never married, and she doesn't have any children. That's what she told Beth. Didn't have any children. That would be kind of a sad state to be with no family, wouldn't it? Because we have family. We have, you know, in our case, a wonderful grandchild and one on the way. I don't know if you knew that or not, but we do have another one on the way. You know, our parents, my parents are gone, but they were wonderful to have around for many years. And we've got, I don't know, what is it, 40-some of us, I think, that come to the family reunions when it's on our mom, just on our mom and dad's side. We've got over 100. Like 130 of us that usually gather on the 4th of July on my mother's side of the family for when all the cousins come. Just wonderful to see people, to have family, isn't it? I'm talking about physical family. We'll get to the spiritual family part of it in a little bit. But it's wonderful to have family. And oftentimes this time of year, we get together with family, don't we? And we have the blessing of seeing them and perhaps eating a Thanksgiving meal together or whatever the case may be. But it's wonderful to have the blessing of a physical family, isn't it? And we need to count that in our blessings. Perhaps there are issues, you know, in the families, and there are probably issues in most families. Things some people maybe we don't have as close a relationship with as we'd like to have. But we still need to be grateful and count our blessings and count the blessing of family. It's a wonderful blessing to have family. Point number three, God has blessed me with brethren. God has blessed us, all of us, with brethren, hasn't He? With each other. It's a wonderful thing that we have each other. I've spoken on that many times over the years, or talked about that, how wonderful it is to have each other as brethren. We had the opportunity to travel internationally for the feast this year, as many of you know, and we've talked a little bit about. And it was a wonderful experience. Now, it's the second time that we've traveled internationally for the feast. And the first time we went in, I think it was about 89, so 25 years ago, I guess, to Acapulco, Mexico. And I remember thinking at the time how interesting and how fascinating it was that when we listen to the messages there. One day they'd have a message in English, and for the Spanish brethren, they would translate it into Spanish. And the next day they'd have a message in Spanish. One of the Spanish ministries speak to us, and they would translate it into English for those of us who couldn't speak Spanish. And it just struck me at the fact that here you have English brethren, Spanish brethren, but the message was the same. They were all God's people. We were all God's people. And I was struck with that a little bit this year when we were in Australia for the feast and had a wonderful feast. It was, you know, it had its challenges, but we had a wonderful feast with 32 to 35 brethren. I think they officially listed as 36 of us were there, but several of those were on Skype, that came in on Skype every day and Skype with us. You know, I don't know if I've told you the story. We left Cleveland on a Sunday afternoon. We were supposed to leave about 2 o'clock. We actually left about 6 on a different flight than we were originally supposed to be on, because the flight we were on never, I don't know if it ever left. We were supposed to be on. I don't know if it ever left, but we were concerned that we were going to miss our flight from Cleveland to, or from Dallas. We were flying from Cleveland to Dallas, from Dallas to Sydney. And turns out that flight was running late as well. And so we made the flight, but the flight stopped in Los Angeles. It was originally supposed to be a flight from Dallas to Sydney. It's about a 17-hour flight. But it stopped in Los Angeles to pick up some passengers. And we arrived in Sydney about 3 or 4 hours late that Tuesday morning. It's fascinating when you leave. We left on a Sunday evening in Dallas, and we arrived Tuesday morning. We missed Monday, and we arrived Tuesday morning in Sydney, Australia, but not all of our bags arrived. So I had nothing. I had basically the clothes on my back and a little bit of carry-on stuff. Beth had her bag. Gary and Peggy Summers that were with us, they had some stuff in each bag, so each of us were missing a bag. So the airline gave us a little bit of money because we didn't have any bags. We had to buy stuff. I had, you know, nothing on but a pair of, you know, a sweatsuit, basically. So we went out, and I bought a pair of black pants and a white shirt, and Gary had two jackets, and they fit me, so every other day I'd wear his jacket. And our bag got there. We landed on Tuesday morning. The feast started on Thursday, Wednesday night. Actually, my bag didn't get there till Friday night. So their extra bag got there on Thursday afternoon, I think. Mine got there Friday night. So we were delighted to have them, but it was a little bit of a challenge, but it worked out. But the feast was a wonderful blessing for us to be able to meet brethren from various parts of the world. We had an elder from Tonga, Mr. Taofu. I have a little video that I was thinking about showing, but it's in a format that I don't think we could show here. But, you know, the Taofu family was from Tonga. They're the only members on the island of Tonga. They only really have services with brethren around the holy day time. Mr. Taofu was in the springtime when Mr. Franks, when he was in, and I think he went to Fiji and then to New Zealand, Mr. Taofu was, and his wife Galina, I think is her name, were interviewed by Mr. Franks. Just a wonderful family, just very sincere and hospitable. They had the Taofu family, had all of us over. They had a beautiful home right on the Tasman Sea, is where the feast was in the South Pacific. And had a beautiful home, and they had all of us over one afternoon, all of the brethren from, the, you know, because again, there were only 30, 35 of us or 34 of us on a regular basis. They had all of us over one afternoon for a nice dinner together. And we got to know brethren from Tonga, from New Zealand, from Australia. And it was just a wonderful thing. And we were bound by God's Holy Spirit. And we all, you know, we all had that in common. And it was just a wonderful camaraderie. And I know some of you, and Mr. DeRoops, I know, have traveled to those international sites and smaller sites. It was really interesting to be there with brethren from a smaller site. And there were 31 of us there, like I say, 30. I think 31 or 2 that regularly attended. Then some days there would be 34. But it was wonderful to be there with them, and it was every bit the Feast of Tabernacles that you had where they were 400 or 1,500. And it was just a very enjoyable and interesting experience. And I thought, you know, it's a blessing. I'm blessed because we are blessed because we have brethren. We're blessed because of that. It's a blessing for us to have our brethren, isn't it? To be brethren and to know each other. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 21 through 25. Hebrews chapter 10. And verse 21. Hebrews 10 verse 21 says, "And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." And we know that, don't we? We claim that promise, and that's a comforting promise for us, isn't it? "He who promised is faithful. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works." So we're to consider one another, aren't we? Do we do that? Are we a blessing to each other? "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together." So we need to get together. And again, this is referring to services that we come to, and you know, obviously on a day like today, some can't be here because of weather. But exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. So, you know, we're to get together, aren't we? We're to assemble ourselves together and to be together. And it's a wonderful blessing to be able to do that. We assemble together in our life. Your life has meaning to me and my life has meaning to you. Our lives have meaning to each other because we know each other. It's a wonderful blessing to be able to be brethren. We are blessed, brethren. Point number four, we are blessed to have friends. Many of us are friends. God has blessed me, has blessed you with friends. And that's a blessing. That's a wonderful blessing for us to have. One of the chief friends that we have is Jesus Christ. We read, I think, I didn't write it down, but I think it's in John 15, might be John 13, where Christ said, "I have called you friends." We've talked about that many times, but we are blessed to have each other as friends. We are blessed. God has blessed you. Number five. I'm going to cut the one with friends a little bit short here. But God has blessed you, has blessed me with the experiences of life. God has blessed me, has blessed you with the experiences of life. Some positive, some not so positive. All of them for our learning, aren't they? We have many blessings. We also have trials. God knows that I have need of these. God knows. God doesn't try us beyond our means to be able to take it. And God knows what we have need of. And God has given us and blessed us with the experiences of life. Are we grateful for those experiences, whether they're positive or not so positive? Are we grateful for the experiences of life that God gives us? Again, sometimes we have trials. Sometimes, oftentimes, health trials. Again, financial trials can be an issue sometimes. But God has blessed us and given us the experiences of life. Point number six, God has blessed us with the gift of His Spirit. God has blessed us with the gifts of God's Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we'll read verse 7 through 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7. It says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all." So God gives us His Spirit to each of us so that all can profit from it. "For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit." Some people have a great deal of wisdom, don't they? "To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit." Different gifts, same Spirit. "To another," verse 9, by the same Spirit, "to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit." Verse 10, "to another working of miracles," another prophecy, "to another discerning of spirits," "to another different kinds of tongues," "to another the interpretation of tongues and languages." But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. Can we be grateful for the Spirit, you know, for the gifts that God has given us, each other's, different spirits, different gifts, rather, that we have, different strengths and weaknesses that we have. But all, as it says in verse 7, it's for the profit of all. Are we grateful for that? Are we grateful for the gifts that God has given us? All of us have been given gifts. All of us have different strengths and weaknesses. Verse 28 says, "And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues." Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts. And yet I show you a more excellent way. So we're to desire the best gifts, but the purpose is to edify the body of Christ. Do we recognize these gifts that God has given to us and has given to others? And are we grateful for that? Do we recognize it as the wonderful blessing that it is? What a blessing it is to know that God has given His gifts to us. Point number 7, God has blessed us, or has blessed me, with encouragement and comfort. God has blessed me with encouragement and comfort. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Back a couple of pages here to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 3 and 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 3 says, "Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort." Again, we could go back to the book of Psalms, we could go back to the book of Proverbs, and we could read through many scriptures that outline God's great mercy and the comfort that He provides and the encouragement that He provides. God is a very merciful and encouraging God. So He is the God of all comfort here in verse 3. In verse 4 says, who comforts us in our tribulation. There's a blessing that we can thank God for, isn't it? That he comforts us when we're in trial. That we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble. So we have a responsibility with that as well. That we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. It's a blessing for us to be able to share experiences in that way, isn't it? Sometimes when we are in a trial and going through certain things, it can be very helpful to have others who have gone through those things to lean on. And we have brethren who have gone through many of those similar things, many similar trials that we go through. We have brethren who have done those things. And we can lean on them and we can give them the comfort, as Paul said here, comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. What a blessing that is. Well, brethren, God has blessed me with. What has God blessed you with? Many, many things that we can think on, reflect on. There are many things we could add. You fill your list. You make your list. God wants us to have a grateful heart. He wants us to be grateful for those things and to recognize those things that he has given us. He wants us to realize what he has blessed us with. And we need to do that and praise God for that and thank God for that. He wants us to have a useful, acceptable, qualified, hearty mind. A mind that recognizes the blessings that we've been given, a thankful mind. Hebrews chapter 13, to conclude today. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. Hebrews 13 and verse 15 says, therefore, by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Brethren, as we take in this Thanksgiving season this year, let's recognize the blessings that we have been given. And let's make sure that we have a grateful heart for those blessings. So as we dismiss today, I don't know what the weather is like outside. I hope it's clearing up some for us, but certainly would ask you to exercise care. Be careful in your travels home.